ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the incredible!
Ladies and gentlemen, so are you ready for your show?
Hola, baby! Soy Little Steven. Bienvenido a Little Steven's Underground Garage and Rock FM.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Hola familia, buenas noches. Soy Carlos Medina y hoy tenemos por delante un Underground Garage muy especial. Little Steven ha querido recordar una fecha fundamental en el calendario del rock and roll. Bueno, matizo, una misma fecha, dos acontecimientos distintos, pero vitales, eso sí. Es el 21 de marzo, tanto de 1952 como de 1955. Esta noche recordaremos cuál fue el primer gran show del rock and roll y también la primera canción del género en convertirse en número uno por medio de formar parte de la banda sonora de una película. Nos espera un viaje fascinante y dos hechos históricos realmente interesantes, pero no me adelanto. Por lo pronto, le damos la bienvenida a nuestro guitarrista favorito. Buenas noches, Little. Arrancamos el Underground Garage con música. Teenage News es la canción de la banda Sylvain Sylvain. Comenzamos. Buenas noches.
Rock, as we know it, began March 21st, 1952. 10,000 rhythm and blues fans jammed the massive dance floor as 10,000 more outside without tickets, ominously pressed up against the four wooden doors of the aging ice hockey hall known as the Cleveland Arena. Many in the crowd had been drinking, it was Friday night after all. And the anticipation of seeing stars like Paul Williams, Tiny Grimes, Danny Cobb, Loretta Dillard, and the Dominoes perform live was overwhelming. and a brand new experience for most of them. 6 months earlier, 29-year-old Alan Freed had started DJing late at night on WJW Radio, calling himself Moondog. He began spinning the hottest, nastiest R&B records he could find. And because of the strong response, Freed and two others, Lou Platt, an agent and promoter since the big band era, and Leo Mintz, owner of one of Cleveland's largest record stores, Record Rendezvous, who had been instrumental in getting Freed on the air, decided to form a partnership and promote a dance to be called the Moondog Coronation Ball. Now, even though Freed had been talking this thing up at every possible opportunity, he was still surprised at the size of the crowd. No one had ever attempted anything so ambitious, and everybody involved was flabbergasted. The first act, Paul Williams, was in his first song, probably the song you're hearing behind me right now, around 9:30 when the lid blew off. 10,000 kids, undoubtedly well-behaved under any other circumstances, turned into an aggressive mob, transformed by the need to be in the room and feel the inspiring energy of this new thing Freed was calling rock and roll. They burst through the doors and overran the four cops that couldn't believe their eyes, and after a symbolic attempt to stop the crowd, got out of the way. The morning paper front page headline was "Moondog Ball is halted as 6,000 crash arena gate," as the plain dealer readers must have been wondering, what the hell is a moondog? The afternoon paper, the Cleveland Press, had a crushing mob of 25,000, a little more accurate, actually. The black newspaper, the Cleveland Call and Post, commenting on the mostly black crowd, wrote, "The shame of the situation is that the community allows a program like this to continue to exploit the Negro teenagers with this lowbrow, cheap entertainment, frequently obscene. Until what was called race music, music made by black artists for a black audience, was renamed Rhythm and Blues in June of 1949 by Billboard magazine, it was unheard by whites and shunned by upper-class blacks as garbage, gut bucket, trash, and a shocking display of low-down rhythms. But Alan Freed had a deep spiritual belief in this music. He would start calling it rock and roll to disguise its black origins in a white-dominated society. And that, combined with his dynamic showmanship and 10 years of communicating in a very personal way with his audience, would finally pay off. He and his music would get noticed nationally after the Moondog Coronation Ball. The first rock and roll concert lasted exactly one song, and that song was the shot heard round the world. The revolution was on.
Hey, pretty baby,
you can't sit down.
Don't you hear the drummer thumping?
You can't sit down.
You gotta shake it like a crazy.
You can't sit down.
'Cause the band is saying something.
You can't sit down.
Everybody is a jumping.
You can't sit down.
You gotta slap bop, flip flop, hip hop all around.
You can't sit down. You can't sit down.
You gotta move, move, move around and around.
You can't sit down. You can't sit down.
You gotta fly.
Sit down.
When you're on South Street,
you can't sit down.
And the band is really booting,
you can't
like I know I should. You're coming home.
This is Lance Fried, and you are with Little Steven in the Underground Garage, where we're celebrating the anniversary of the first rock and roll concert ever, my father's Moondog Coronation Ball.
I just got back from a walk down the square to the local Kentucky. I looked around at the stores and the signs and the queues lining up for that 21st century fair. I kneel down and say grace for the comforts the world bestows on me, and the great corporations providing our every need. Shop window goods are designed to please. Oh, but I ask, where is the poetry? I'm looking at the sign that says, have a good day. But I got too much on my mind, so many questions. In the news, someone said that the great population is better off than yesterday. Better health, better food, better sex, a better higher education. But with credit card bills always on the way. I just saw my gal with a guy in a fast food outlet. They seemed happy together, but I saw the tragedy. Maybe I'm missing something, was too blind to see. She sat up for someone who isn't so hard to please.
Believe me, kids, I'm speechless. But who needs words at a time like this? This turnout speaks for itself. And I think for the rest, we'll let the music do the talking.
I'm in love with you, darling, Scooby-Doo. I'm in love with you.
when it happened. Yes, if I'm guilty of anything, I'm guilty of being present at the birth of rock and roll. The music which is the honest, spontaneous expression of today's youth.
Started That Was the Week That Was with Teenage News, Sylvain Sylvain. His mama liked the name so much she used it twice. Sylvain back with his former day job, the New York Dolls these days, but that was from a solo record in 1980. We started our anniversary of the very first rock and roll show ever with the Dovells. They were not there, but they wish they were. You Can't Sit Down, Baby. From With the Beatles, their second album, It Won't Be Long. We got it as Meet the Beatles. Poetry, Ray Davis with the Jayhawks. An appropriate accompanying band for an album called Americana. Ray produced it with Guy Massey and John Jackson and wrote it. The Sofuto Brothers and the Zero Brothers. And Kenny Arkapowski. Denise, love that record, Randy and the Rainbows, written by Neil Levinson and produced by Joe Venere, 1963. And the amazing Arthur Conley, Funky Street, went all the way to 14 on the pop chart, 1968, produced by the great Tom Dowd. This is The Week That Was. Come on back, we're going to the movies.
Sigues en Rock FM despidiendo el fin de semana al ritmo del Underground Garage de Little Steven. Un 21 de marzo de 1952 tuvo lugar un evento muy importante para la historia del rock and roll. Aquel día el disc jockey Alan Freed organizó lo que se considera como el primer gran show del rock and roll de la historia. Alan Freed era un disc jockey conocido como Moondog, que se hizo muy popular entre la juventud afroamericana estadounidense por difundir la música rhythm and blues bajo el nombre de rock and roll. Fripp se lanzó a organizar y promocionar un evento en el Cleveland Arena, un recinto dedicado habitualmente al hockey, en el que actuarían Paul Williams, Tiny Grimes y The Dominoes, entre otros artistas. Se agotaron las 10.000 entradas que se pusieron a la venta y las autoridades calcularon que unas 6.000 personas se quedaron fuera del recinto. Aquel concierto es recordado como el Moondog Coronation Bowl y supuso aún más popularidad para Alan Freed, quien comenzó a extender su rock and roll por Estados Unidos y Europa. Por cierto, que fue Cleveland donde se escogió como emplazamiento el Museo de la Fama del Rock and Roll gracias precisamente al trabajo de Freed. Aquello ocurrió un 21 de marzo de 1952 y esta noche lo recordamos en el Underground Garage de Rock FM. ¡Dale, Little!
March 21st, a date that is among the most high and exalted among all the highest and holiest of days in the rock and roll calendar, for two reasons. It was the date of Alan Freed's Moondog Coronation Ball 1952, but could this be a coincidence? It's also the date, 3 years later, of the release of Blackboard Jungle, to the day. As controversial as the Moondog Coronation Ball might have been, Blackboard Jungle was the flick that would forever marry rock and roll with juvenile delinquency and rebellion, prophesize and help establish generational conflict as a new fact of life, and, oh yeah, by the way, break rock and roll worldwide as the new form of popular music. Based on Evan Hunter's book, Blackboard Jungle was a rather hard-hitting exploration of juvenile delinquency, and unlike Rebel Without a Cause or The Wild One, it took it inside. Inside the classroom, to be exact. Vic Morrow plays the gloomy, morose, psychopathic gang leader who terrorizes Glenn Ford as a new teacher and shares an unexplained anger with fellow student Sidney Poitier. The excellent cast also includes Anne Francis, Jameel Farah, now known as Jamie Farr, the cross-dresser on MASH, and Paul Mazursky, legendary film director, actor in Stanley Kubrick's early films, but became infamous as our dealer in the executive card game on The Sopranos. The song called Rock Around the Clock, performed by Bill Haley and the Comets, hadn't done much when first released in early 1954, but now, as the first rock song ever used as a movie theme song, it would become the first rock and roll number one record. When witnessed in the movie theater, it would cause some teenagers to dance in the aisles, while others were compelled to slash the seats with knives. As a new, defiant, rebellious sexual energy was unleashed, a special secret defiant meaning for teenagers only suggested that they could be a force to be reckoned with by their numbers alone. If there was one song, there could be a whole world of songs, and with it, a whole new world. The anxieties of adults who had associated rock and roll with anarchy, violence, and sex ever since the Moondog Coronation Ball 3 years earlier had their worst fears confirmed. Time magazine opined, Blackboard Jungle undermined the American way of life, giving aid and comfort to the communists. With Carl Perkins' Blue Suede Shoes and Elvis Presley's Heartbreak Hotel going to the top of the pop, R&B, and country charts the following year, there was no stopping the madness. Run for your lives! Here comes the teenager.
When you're a jet, all the way from your first cigarette to your last dying day. When you're a jet, let them do what they can. You've got brothers around, you're a family man. You're never alone, you're never disconnected. You're home with your own, the company's expected. You're well protected. Then you are set with a capital J, which you'll never forget till they cart you away. When you're a jet, you stay a jet.
Now I know Tony like I know me, and I guarantee you can count him in.
In, out, let's get cracking.
Where are you going to find Bernardo?
It ain't safe to go into PR territory.
We need to dance tonight at the gym.
Yeah, but the gym's neutral territory.
Hey, Rab, I'm going to make nice with him. I'm only going to challenge him.
Great, Daddy-O.
So listen,
Everybody dress up sweet and sharp. Me, Tony, me at the dance at the 10. And walk tall.
We always walk tall.
We're jets.
The greatest.
When you're a jet, you're a top cat in town. You're a gold medal kid with a heavyweight crown. When you're a jet, you're the swingin'est thing. Little boy, you're a man. Little man, you're a king.
The jets are in gear. Our cylinders are clinking. The shots are still clear. Cause every Puerto Rican's a lousy chicken.
Here come the jets like a bat out of hell. Someone gets in our way, someone don't feel so well.
Here come the jets, little world's left aside. Better go underground, better run, better hide. We're drawing the line, so keep your noses hidden. We're hanging a sign, the visitor's forbidden, and we ain't kidding.
Here come the jets, yeah, and we're gonna beat every last bugging gang on the whole bugging street, on the whole bugging ever.
Let's splurge and take a taxi home. We'll neck in the back seat, how about it?
I'm taking money under the false pretense of teaching history.
Oh, I thought you developed their muscles.
No, developing my own. Getting in shape to defend myself for the fall term.
Makes it sound like a reform school.
Oh, first teaching job, eh?
Roll.
Hi, this is Paul Mazursky, and you're with Little Steven in the Underground Garage. Here's one of the coolest records ever made.
8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm moving on out to school. With an open book and a sleepy look, the teacher can't be fooled. I catch up fast in the early class, the teacher will never know that I postponed my work at home, watching the evening show. And he told her over the telephone, hey there, Donnie, me boy, why you in such a rush?
Go!
The girl, she wanna talk to you. Look at him, he's a blush.
Go!
You may become a multi-millionaire. Hey there, Anthony boy, why you in such a rush?
Oh!
The girl, she wanna talk to you. Look at him, he's a blush.
Oh!
Started that set with the Jets doing their theme song from West Side Story and segued right into Happenings 10 years time ago. Just in case you were wondering where you were, now you know you're in the Underground Garage. That's one of the greatest Yardbird singles ever. Why? Because it's really the only one with Jeff Beck and Jimmy Page playing lead guitar. Jimmy on the verses, Jeff on the solo. Here for you, brand new from Brian Ray from the Bayonets, yes, and Paul McCartney's band. Very cool stuff. He wrote it and he produced it. Get it from wickedcoolrecords.com. Bruce Springsteen, the E Street Band, a little frat rock for you from the river. I'm a Rocker, 1980. Dirt Road was Southern Culture on the skids. Mary Huff and Rick Miller wrote it, and they both sing it, and Rick co-produced it with Mark Williams. Get it from scots.com. And speaking of Italian, Chuck Berry. Yes, there's a little Italian in everybody, including Chuck Berry, Anthony Boy. We will be back with arguably the most important rock and roll record in history.
Esto es el Underground Garage de Little Steven aquí en Rock FM. Es curioso que otro de los grandes acontecimientos del rock tuviera lugar un 21 de marzo, de hecho 3 años más tarde de aquel considerado como primer gran concierto de rock and roll de la historia. El 21 de marzo de 1955 se estrenó la película Blackboard Jungle, que en España lo hizo bajo el título de Semilla de Maldad. La cinta fue dirigida por Richard Brooks y se basó en la novela del mismo nombre escrita por Ivan Hunter. En el libro, Hunter narró su experiencia como profesor en un instituto del Bronx en Nueva York. La película destacó por varios motivos. Uno de ellos fue la sobresaliente actuación del futuro ganador del Oscar, Sidney Poitier, y por otro lado, lo que nos atañe más directamente, resulta que contó con la canción Rock Around the Clock, interpretada por Bill Haley and His Comets como tema de apertura. Esto supuso el comienzo del rock and roll y años más tarde que la banda sonora de Semillas de Maldad fuera considerada entre las 15 más influyentes de la historia. Se cuenta que Rock Around the Clock llegó a la película de una forma muy peculiar. Resulta que el hijo de Glenn Ford, el prota de la peli, era un joven adolescente. y ya que la película narraba la vida de unos adolescentes en el instituto, decidió echar un vistazo a las cosas de su hijo. Fue allí donde encontró en la colección de música de su hijo la canción Rock Around the Clock, así de simple. Tuyo, maestro.
Welcome back to the Underground Garage. So, what were the 10 coolest, most important events in rock and roll history? I'm not going to tell you yet, but two of the biggest happened this week, and I'm going to tell you about one right now. There is one that is not likely to show up on anybody's list, yet it led to one of the top 10 historically important events in history. The record was 13 women and only one man in town by an already not exactly teenage rockabilly bunch of misfits called Bill Haley and the Comets. In 1954, the record was definitely ahead of its time, his story being told by the lone male survivor of a nuclear war and the 13 women he had to service. Perhaps already influenced by Hugh Hefner's year-old Playboy philosophy. Anyway, it bombed. But one kid bought it. A 9-year-old named Peter Ford. He was a Hollywood kid, son of dancer Eleanor Powell and actor Glenn Ford, and lived in a house bought from Max Steiner, the famous film composer of Gone with the Wind and Casablanca and 100 others. And there was always music in the house. His mother had worked with many black performers, so she turned him on to Fats Waller, the Ink Spots, Art Tatum, and later he would turn her on to Big Mama Thornton, Hank Ballard and the Midnighters, and Johnny Ace. He was the blackest white kid in Beverly Hills. He had bought Crazy Man Crazy by Bill Haley and the Comets the year before, and dug the white country influence meets R&B that would characterize what would soon be called rock and roll. But he gets the record, and he hates it. So he turns it over. In those days, not only was the music on both sides of the disc, but it was often labeled as to what type of dance the record was. The A side would be the pick of the record company of the potential hit, and the B side would usually be filler. So in this case, the B side is a song called Rock Around the Clock, identified as a foxtrot. The composers, that's all a bit controversial, but James Myers, a.k.a. Jimmy DeKnight, and Max Friedman are the guys generally mentioned as the writers. Bill Haley wanted to cut it when he was still at Essex in 1953, but label owner Dave Miller didn't like it, so Haley put it in the stage act, and he recalled playing it for the first time in Wildwood, New Jersey. That's right, the home of rock and roll. And he always got a good reaction from the song live. Anyway, after Crazy Man Crazy, the next few singles bombed, so Jimmy Myers plays Milt Gabler, a demo of Rock Around the Clock, and Gabler signs the Comets to Decca. They go in and cut two songs at the Masonic Pythian Temple. Don't ask. Rock Around the Clock as the B-side, and 13 Women as the A-side. Why? Because Gabler had a piece of the publishing, that's why. 13 Women proved to be a tough vocal. Gabler had visions of Bill Haley replacing Louis Jordan, who he had just lost. But it took Bill like 2 hours and 6 takes, which was forever in those days. Which only left 40 minutes for the B-side. But they knew it pretty good from playing it live, so they whipped it right out. They had brought in Danny Cedrone, the session guitar player, to play what is considered the first amazing rock and roll solo ever on record. And by the way, he got $21 for it. They only had time for 2 takes, the first of which the vocals are drowned out, and so the second was done with a more minimal arrangement. A Decca engineer would splice the 2 takes together, and 2 minutes and 8 seconds later, history was made. How exactly? Well, Peter's father, Glenn Ford, gets the role of the teacher in a movie called Blackboard Jungle. The director, Richard Brooks, is looking for something different to open the film. He described it as a jump jive type of song. Little Peter plays him Rock Around the Clock, and Richard Brooks put the first ever rock and roll song into a movie. After the movie's success, the record is re-released, and it becomes the first number one rock and roll record on the Billboard charts. And rebellion, juvenile delinquency, rock and roll, and teenage identity will be married forever when the kids hearing rock and roll really loud for the first time out of those movie speakers rip the seats out of the theaters.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around 10 o'clock tonight. But get your glad rags on. Join me, home. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes one. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock.
Marshall Lytle of Bill Haley and the Comets, and you are with Little Steven in the Underground Garage. And please leave the area around your radio clean when you go.
Little Fanette and Sweet Sue too, they've been coming around, gives them something to do. And mamas all want them not to come to town. They got into the blood, now they gotta get down. Shaking the street, got that beat, shaking the street, where all the kids meet. Shaking the street, it's got that sound. Shaking the street, said you gotta get down. Streetlight Sam decided to make the trip, all the way from New Jersey on his girlfriend's tip. He pulled into town and met Skinny Lady Beat. Said, I've come here, boy, I heard about the street. I heard about the place where all the kids go. Now I'm about to flip. I just gotta know about Shaking the Street. It's got that beat. Shaking the Street, where all the kids meet. Shaking the Street, it's got that sound. Shaking the Street, said you gotta get down. Well, the kids on Shaking the Street will never give in, cause all of their lives they've been living in sin. To take for the taking and to shake for the shaking. Ha! Shaking, shaking, shaking. The kids keep complaining, they find it so shocking. All the kids wanna do is just keep on rocking. They ain't got no time to think about stopping. They gotta get down and do a little stomping. But Sally Baker wants to shake a shaker. Bobby Phillips says it's gonna take a two. Shaking the Street, it's got that beat. Shaking the Street, where all the kids meet. Shaking the Street, it's got that sound. Shaking the Street, you gotta get down. Shaking the Street, it's got that beat. Shaking the Street, where all the kids meet. Shaking the Street, it's got that sound. Shaking the Street, so you gotta get down.
Me, I'm just an ordinary kid.
Yeah, yeah, save the humility for the press. Now, we've got to be analytical about this. Well, look at the headlines you've had. For a few days, you've become a sort of national anti-hero. You're every poor little fish in the country, only covered in gold chips.
Who, me?
Yes, you talented little Burke. You've got a chip on your shoulder and an H-bomb in your pants, a sneer, a twitch, a hell in your head. It's you against the world, baby, and the world loves you for hating it.
But this is a great hate number.
trust you with my secrets. Your reputation for discretion is well known, and I appreciate the glimpse into your mystery. Tell me just one thing.
Thank you. As I walk through this world, nothing can stop the Duke of Earth. And you are my girl, and no one can hurt you. Oh no, yes I. Duchess of Earth, we'll walk through my dukedom, and a paradise we will share. Yes, I.
You have to understand, what were we listening to music-wise? Pat Boone? The music was terrible! Suddenly, there's Little Richard doing Tutti Frutti. Wa-ba-ba-loo-ba-ba-bamboo, Tutti Frutti! Whoa, man! We went up to the Apollo to see him, and he was fantastic in person, and some idiot yelled from the balcony, "Hey, you f-!" He goes, "Oh, you wish you could!" I mean, he was... he's lightning in a bottle or something.
Dum, 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 Duran. Dum, 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 Duran.
Dun, 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 Duran.
we started that set with possibly the most important rock and roll record of all time, Rock Around the Clock, the first number one rock and roll record, produced by the legendary Milt Gabler. In case you see his name in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, now you know why. MC5, Shakin' Street, from their second album, Back in the USA, written and sung by the great Fred Smith, and produced by John Landau, 1970. St. Valentine's Day, Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul. The new album is Soulfire, coming in May or so. Gene Chandler with one of my favorites, Duke of Earl. Gene out of Chicago, where the infamous VJ label resided. Call Me Lightning from The Who. Just a cool single they threw out there in 1968 for no apparent reason other than coolness. By Pete and produced by Kit Lambert. And we'll be back with our coolest song in the world this week.
Llegó el momento clásico por excelencia del Underground Garage de Little Steven aquí en Rock FM. Viene de la mano del señor Tommy Stinson y su banda, Bash and Pop, la canción más chula de la semana, Never Wanted to Know.
You know what that sound means. Take out your phone, open up the Shazam app, and Shazam us right now. Our coolest song in the world this week comes from the rock and roll capital of the world, Hudson, New York. I thought that was a river. Please welcome to the Underground Garage stage the very cool Bash and Pop.
Yeah. asking you if you swear...
No, but I know all the words.
He's asking you if you'll swear to tell the truth.
Truth is stranger than fiction, Judgy Wudgy.
Endless conception of living beings, gnashing everywhere in consciousness, throughout the 10 directions of space, occupying all the quarters in and out, from super microscopic no bug to huge galaxy light year bowel illuminating the sky of one mind. Poor. I wish I was free of that slaving meat wheel, safe in heaven dead.
Misty mountain, see the young monk meditating, rhododendron forest. Over dusty hills, I ask you, what has been like being you? Through all levels, you've been changing, getting a little bit better, no doubt. The doctor bit was so far out, looking through crystal spectacles. I can see I had your fun. Doing house paper back reader made the teacher suspicious about insanity. Fingers always touching, girl. Through our levels you've been changing, getting a little bit better, no doubt. The doctor bit was so far out, looking through all kinds of windows. I could see I had your fun. Looking through all kinds of windows, I can see I had your fun. Looking through crystal spectacles, I can see I had your fun. Looking through crystal spectacles, I can see I had your fun. Rebel against society, such a tiny speculating weather to be a hip hop. Skip along quite merrily through our levels you've been changing. Elevator in the brain hotel, broken down but just as well. Looking through crystal spectacles, I can see I had your fun.
Hi, this is Rodney Bingenheimer, and you're with Little Steven in the Underground Garage, fighting to save rock and roll.
That set with our coolest song in the world this week, Never Wanted to Know, from Bash and Pop. It is their second album, Anything Could Happen. What makes it a little bit interesting is the first album was 25 years ago. Even I did better than that. I'm only 15 years or so. But you know, you don't want to rush into anything. You know, the sophomore album jinx, you know, they wanted to avoid that. What's particularly interesting, by the way, this is Tommy Stinson's project after Replacements broke up somewhere around there, 91 or so. And what's really actually quite cool is there is a consistency between these two albums, even though it's a whole different band other than Tommy, really. He wrote and produced this. and his voice and his, you know, his basic sensibility, you know, quite consistent between the two records. So we're adding a bunch of things from both records. And it's just fabulous, this album. I mean, let me tell you something right now. Just go out and get this thing. Yeah, oh yeah, you don't have to go out anymore, do you? Stay in and get this thing. And on this record, Tommy has Luther Dickinson playing guitar. Luther, one of the sons of Jim Dickinson, the legendary Jim Dickinson, who was a... oh my God, his resume is too long to even talk about, but he was a Dixie Flyer, one of the session guys, Miami Criteria, and then Muscle Shoals, you know, he played piano on Wild Horses, among others. So his son, Luther Dickinson, playing guitar, Frank Ferrer on drums, Tony Corraldo, organ, Davey Lane, second guitar player, and Justin Perkins and Cat Popper. It's on Fat Possum Records. Get it from TommyStinson.com. Highly recommend this record. Every song, absolutely enjoyable. You can just put this thing on, man, and just and you know, wonderful textures, great guitar playing, really good songs. Our coolest song in the world this week, Never Wanted to Know, from the very cool Bash and Pop. And one of the thousands of fabulous Jeff Barry and Ellie Greenwich compositions, Heaven Only Knows, from the Shangri-Las, produced by the great George Shadow Morton for Lieber and Stoller's Redbird Records, 1965. The very cool Donovan and Epistle to Dippy, Donovan out of Glasgow, 1967, produced by the great Mickey Most. And Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. I believe the name had officially changed to that by this record. Going to a Go-Go, one of the greatest records of all time, as far as I'm concerned. The Miracles on the Tamla label. When we come back, we are going to announce the top 10 coolest moments in rock and roll history. So start thinking of what they are, and we'll match your list with mine.
Bueno, familia, estamos llegando al final del Underground Garage de esta noche aquí en Rock FM. Tal vez se te haya pasado un poco rápido, pero aún nos queda alguna bala en la recámara. La verdad es que hoy día estamos acostumbrados a que haya grandes conciertos por todo el mundo, estadios que rugen al son de los grandes clásicos de la historia del rock. En el show de esta noche hemos recordado cómo empezó todo a llegar al gran público. Este loco invento llamado rock and roll, ¿verdad? Aquella Mundo Coronation Bowl fue el detonante y poco a poco irían llegando conciertos cada vez más multitudinarios. En los años siguientes nos encontraríamos con grandes festivales como por ejemplo el de Monterrey del 67 o ese célebre festival de Woodstock de 1969. Y que dure muchos años. Dale, Little.
Welcome back to the Underground Garage special. We're calling the week that was, because there was a couple of the most important and coolest events in rock and roll history that happened this week, which inspired us to list the entire top 10 and then some of the coolest events in rock and roll history. We'll start with number one. And by the way, this is more or less chronological order, as opposed to most important order or something like that. Number one, we already talked about, March 21st, 1952, Alan Freed's Moondog Coronation Ball, the first rock and roll concert ever. Number two, we got a little bit of a tie here. May of 1955, Muddy Waters introduces Chuck Berry to Leonard and Phil Chess. Chuck came in with his version of country star Roy Acuff's Ida Red, which he was calling Ida May. Leonard Chess said that's a little too country. Saw an empty mascara box on the floor. Now what that was doing there, I have no idea. And renamed the song Maybelline. And tied with November 20th, 1955, Bo Diddley plays the Ed Sullivan Show. Bo rehearsed the Tennessee Ernie Ford 16 Tons song. And then when the show went on live, he played his new single and first single, Bo Diddley. And Ed Sullivan banned him for life. Number three, March 21st, 1955, Blackboard Jungle is released. We talked about that. Number four, September 14th, 1955, Little Richard takes a lunch break. He is auditioning for Richard Bump's Blackwell at Specialty in New Orleans. Kind of disappointing everybody with ballads and God knows what. They take a lunch break at the Dewdrop Inn, and he jumps up on the bandstand and starts banging out Tutti Frutti. Bump says, "Now we're talking, baby." And the rest is history. Number five, July 5th, 1954. This is also a tie, two-way tie. July 5th, 1954, Elvis, Scotty Moore, and Bill Black go into Sun Studios and, again, are disappointing the producer, Sam Phillips, until they take a break. You people got to take more breaks and stop trying to record seriously. They take a break and start jamming on Arthur Crudup's That's All Right, Mama. And Sam Phillips says, "Wait a minute, now we're talking." And they invent rockabilly. September 9th, 1956, Elvis on the Ed Sullivan Show. Yeah, Ed's going to show up here quite often. He pretty much completes the rock and roll exacta that Bill Haley started by exploding off of the Ed Sullivan appearance after Heartbreak Hotel and all that. And that, of course, after Ed Sullivan said he would never have him on. Number six, March 5th, 1951... This is a three-way tie now on number six. Yes, I'm cheating. Of course I'm cheating. March 5th, 1951, Willie Kizart's amp falls off the roof of his car. That would be the car of Ike Turner and his band, driving from Clarksdale to Memphis to record Rocket 88. The speaker cone broke, and they didn't have another amp. Some of the earliest distortion ever recorded would be part of that Rocket 88 record. 6B, if you will, somewhere in 1957, Link Wray slices the speakers of his amp, and he'll use that distorted sound for Rumble, an extremely important record. And 6C, somewhere around 1963, Dave Davies of the Kinks sticks knitting needles in the speakers of his 8-watt El Pico amplifier, creating the wonderful distortion for the sound on You Really Got Me. And we should make an honorable mention, or make it 6D, actually, of Hubert Sumlin on Howlin' Wolf's How Many More Years, also produced by Sam Phillips. Wonderful distortion going on in that record also. 7, February 9th, 1964, the Beatles appear on the Ed Sullivan Show. It is what we refer to as the Big Bang of rock and roll. And arguably, you could make Elvis's appearance on Ed Sullivan's The Big Bang, if you wish. No argument from me. But in my life, personally, it was the Beatles on Ed Sullivan that changed my world. Number 8, July 13, 1964, the Rolling Stones play the Hollywood Palace, hosted by Dean Martin. I've talked about this many times, that it was the epiphany of my life, witnessing my past and future together on the same stage. 8B... Yeah, this one has a tie also. Andrew Lou Goldham leaves the Rolling Stones rehearsal, where they are helplessly, hopelessly stuck trying to decide on that all-important second single after their first bombed miserably. And Andrew runs into the Beatles, John and Paul, that is, brings them back to rehearsal where they finish I Want to Be Your Man, give it to the Stones, and probably changing the course of history because then radio had to play them. The Beatles were so big at the time. Number 9, another three-way tie. First, the Byrds reach number 1 with Bob Dylan's Mr. Tambourine Man, June 20th, 1965. A month later, Bob himself releases Like a Rolling Stone, July 20th, 1965. And the third thing is that same week, he, quote, goes electric at the Newport Folk Festival, where he plugs in with the Paul Butterfield Blues Band, blows every folky in the world's mind, and they've never recovered. And 10, the festivals, another three-way tie. The very first rock festival, The Human Being, of January 14th, 1967, at San Francisco's Golden Gate Park. The coolest festival,
the Monterey Pop Festival, June 16th, 17th, and 18th, that same year, 1967. And probably the last cool festival, a little thing called Woodstock, August 15th, 16th, 17th, into the 18th, 1969, which would be the final utopian moment of the counterculture. Really not recognized until the movie came out. So there you have it. Stevie's Top 10, and then some.
This is Dave Davies of the Kinks, and you're with Little Steven in the Underground Garage. Now, Stevie says that I invented the hard rock riff, and do you know what? I think he's right.
See my friend. their secret weapons?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, you see, all the tanks we come up against are bigger and better than ours. So all we can hope to do is, like, scare them away, you know? This gun is an ordinary 76 millimeter, but we add this piece of pipe onto it, and the Krauts think, like, maybe it's a 90 millimeter. We got our own ammunition. It's filled with paint. When we fire it, it makes pretty pictures. Scares the hell out of people. We got a loudspeaker here, and when we go into battle, we play music very loud. It kind of calms us down.
Nightshades are bed, I see you. Your shrouding veil loops me. I feel my thoughts collide. I'm on its inside. The smoking mirrors blind me. All around outside me, calling again. You struck a match, so I'm asleep. Shadows do nothing for me. Flashing beauty, echo solving, and all I see is you.
Now in your face I see. Echoes in my ear, and now I see so clear.
It's softly humming to me, slowly running through me, through the notes I can't see.
He's just a little excited.
I know. I'm going to use good judgment. I haven't lost my temper in 40 years. But Pilgrim, you caused a lot of trouble this morning. Might have got somebody killed. And somebody ought to belt you in the mouth. But I won't. I won't. The hell I will.
Cause I just couldn't eat, but I
started that set with number 8 from the list of coolest rock and roll moments of all time, the Rolling Stones on Hollywood Palace. They would Do Not Fade Away and I Just Want to Make Love to You and Change My Life. See My Friends from the Kinks, fabulous stuff from Ray Davies and Shel Talmy, their 8th single or so. Echo Softly from The Urges. The new album is Time Will Pass. Jim Walters wrote it, sings it, and produced it with Gavin Glass. Get it from theurges.bigcartel.com. And we close with the fabulous Ike Tina Turner, The Fabulous Finger Poppin', written and produced by the amazing, if perhaps not the most romantic, Ike Turner. Arranged and conducted by the equally amazing Gene Page, by the way. That was the week that was, baby.
That was the week that was.
You know what that sound means. Take out your phone, open up the Shazam app, and Shazam us right now.
Now I have to face stupid reality again.
We want to thank the Seminole Hard Rock Cafes, hotels, and casinos worldwide. Been there with us from the beginning. Jimmy Allen and the gang. And our special thanks to the Seminole Native Americans, coolest Indian tribe ever. Our new distributor is Sun Broadcast Group. I want to thank Ron Rivlin, who does the U.S., and Jessica D'Agostine. Radio Express does the international affiliates. So if somebody gets you a radio station for Christmas, call Ron or Jessica, and you can have this show and be the coolest cat on your block. You can get the Underground Garage app at iTunes or Google Play. You can go to facebook.com/undergroundgarage or undergroundgarage.com. You can tweet me at Stevie Van Zandt. Please don't do it if you're a twittiot. Yes, I had to make that name up. I'm lucky. I get more friends than not. And of course, if you're looking for any kind of fab gear, you know, vintage equipment or new stuff or anything having to do with guitars or keyboards or drums or anything having to do with rock and roll, you got to go to AndyBabukesFabGear.com. Babuke is B-A-B-I-U-K, emphasis on the U-K. You can Shazam us during the coolest song or credits and win some stuff. And special thanks, of course, to Alan Freed. See you next week.
And that's the name of that tune.
Ciao, baby.
Nice ride.
Come back to Jersey, you moron!
That's entertainment.
Un domingo más toca despedirse a las puertas del Underground Garage aquí en Rock FM, el show que nos ha presentado Little Steven y que volverá, por supuesto, dentro de una semana a partir de las 10 de la noche, el domingo que viene. Te espero en nuestra cita semanal. No me faltes. Hasta entonces, por supuesto, disfruta de la semana. Que tengas una feliz noche. Un abrazo. Little, buenas noches.